Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To the voice of the American Redoubt, the safe haven and refuge for God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots strategically relocating to the inland Pacific Northwest, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and eastern Oregon, and eastern, formerly known as eastern Washington. We know it as Liberty State, or the State of Liberty, however you want to call it. But we are broadcasting live right now on 96.5 FM and AM 630, our Liberty Broadcasting American Christian Network affiliates on Liberty Broadcasting. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening. And for our friends out there outside the wire in occupied territory, welcome to all of you. You are not forgotten and you're not alone. And hopefully you'll be able to one day make your way to a safe haven to get out of those areas. It was a pleasure. It was an honor last night, actually, for the Amron operators in Southern California that were running a training net. And this is happening all over the country, and this is so encouraging. The American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, which has grown now not just nationally, because we do have operators, radio operators, training regularly to respond to emergencies in the event of a major catastrophic event. And we've had many disasters where these radio operators have deployed to provide emergency communications. And when they're not actually involved in a real emergency, they're practicing and training for it. So it was last night I was contacted by one of the members of a practice net, a radio network that was doing their practice in Southern California. And they asked if I would say a word to them over the air. And I was able to do that. And it was an honor. So many people out there I never get to meet in person. So that was really encouraging for me. I know they were saying that was encouraging to hear from you, to talk to everybody over the air that was participating in that practice net. But it's encouraging for me. It's very humbling. All the people that are out there that are of like mind, the patriots, the Christian patriots that see the turmoil in our country and they see what's happening and with an eye on what the future could look like. And they're practicing for that. They're training to be able to provide emergency communications to keep folks just like you and me connected. And so that was just a really great thing. So rewarding. And so thank you guys, everybody out there that have not succumbed to the Trump slump and let your foot off the gas. And those of you who are actually making use of this borrowed time to prepare, to inform yourselves, to educate yourselves on our American heritage and our history, and learning valuable life skills that will come in very handy. They'll be critical in the years, or who knows, months, depending on how quick the communist revolutionaries want to expedite the timeline for their. What do you want to say? Their agenda to destroy America. But we're not going to let them. We're going to do our part. We're going to hold the line, right? Right, patriots? Right. Okay. I also want to remind you guys that I know there is a call-in number that you can listen right now on our ACN affiliates, but also on our Sunday evening podcast, there's a separate number that you can call in and listen to on the phone. If you have friends that do not have the internet or they have limited bandwidth and they have a difficult time holding the stream, you can call in and listen to that over the phone, and it's free to you. And that number is listed over at Radio Free Redoubt, along with all the other ways to be able to listen live streaming on the Liberty Broadcasting website, as well as RadioFreeRedoubt.com. And I just want to thank you guys for being out there. Now, this week was very encouraging. I want to talk about something that I was very proud of, something that Trump did, President Trump did earlier this week. And I'm going to talk about that in the second segment. And I think is as wonderful as it is, it's a great start. But in this first part here in segment one, I want to talk about something that is an ongoing issue, especially in Liberty State. That's Eastern Washington, for those of you who are uninitiated. In Eastern Washington, there is a wolf problem. We have cattle being taken down, sometimes within just minutes or hours of cattle being released onto grazing lands before the wolves start to move in. And the ranchers are extremely frustrated about this. And, well, we'll just compensate the cattle. I mean, what are cattle anyway, right? They're just they're a renewable resource. Besides that, they're creating to the destruction of the ozone anyway, because they're gaseous. But they're not a problem to humans, right? Right? Well, that's not so true. And we have an incident that just took place the day before yesterday involving a U.S. Forest Service seasonal worker. They quickly corrected, this is not a student, it's a United States Forest Service employee, seasonal worker. Don't call him a student. Well, this girl gets run up into a tree by a pack of wolves. And they're trying to play it down. Oh, it was only one wolf. Oh, it was only two wolves. Well, that's not entirely true either. According to a helicopter air crew who visually identified multiple wolves in the area where this young woman was treed, called 911. And that's what I want to get into here in this first segment. So there are other news outlets that are covering this. The Spokesman Review actually covered this. And then also the Bellingham Herald, not really stellar conservative platforms, typically very left-leaning, pro-wolf, anti-human, in my estimation, in a lot of their writings. Here's one, though, from the Capitol Press, capitalpress.com. So let me just bring you up to speed on this situation, what happened. According to Capitol Press, the two wolves that chased the they start off the article, the two wolves that chased. So it was just a couple. This is an isolated incident. Just two wolves. It's not all wolves are bad. Just these two wolves. Because earlier they were saying it was just one wolf, but now it's two wolves. Chased a Forest Service seasonal employee up a tree in north central Washington Thursday. Belonged to the Loop Loop Pack, a group known to have roamed grazing lands since at least 2015, but has not had a history of attacking livestock. Really? No, they'd probably just kill elk and moose. And they probably are also contributing to, just like all we've seen all across the inland Pacific Northwest, contributing to the worms that infest the digestive systems and the organs of our game animals. Which is interesting that in Idaho, they call it the Idaho Department of Fish and Game. But in Washington, they refuse to recognize game animals as game. And so it's the Department of Fish and Wildlife. But I digress. The researcher was preparing to survey streams when she was confronted about 0.6 miles from the pack's den in Okanagan Wenatchee National Forest. The woman yelled, waved her arms, and used bear spray before climbing a tree and radioing for help. Maybe they don't, because of the BLM and all these others, they have SWAT teams and firearms and AR-15s and tactical weapons. I guess seasonal, not students, seasonal employees, they only get pepper spray. So she was rescued by a Department of Natural Resources helicopter crew in a remote recreational and grazing area. Officials estimate reaching the woman by ground would have taken more than 2 hours. So the dispatch dispatched a helicopter. So the confrontation and rescue occurred where wolves are protected by the Federal Endangered Species Act under the jurisdiction of the U.S. Wildlife Service. Wolves are not federally protected in the eastern one-third of the state. Did you catch that? Wolves are not federally protected in the eastern one-third of the state. Huh. But they are protected on the second third of the state, apparently, over in Wenatchee and Okanagan. And there's something else that I don't know if you guys caught right at the beginning when I started reading this. Because when they wanted to reintroduce wolves, because they've been here for millions of years, hundreds of thousands of years, well, here's a pack that is known to have roamed grazing land since at least 2015. So 3 years these wolves have been here. Not decades, not centuries, not millennium, not millennia, but 3 years. And so we're encroaching on their land, I guess. But the confrontation, okay, so let me read on. The sheriff's office is responsible for the safety. No, this is what's interesting. So the sheriff, I'm going to bring something else. I'm laying the foundation here because I'm going to bring something else forward that is going on behind the scenes that I don't know if the mainstream media is unaware of or they're refusing to cover. But this part's important. The Okanagan County Sheriff's Office reported getting a call about a treed woman at about 12:30 p.m. This is Thursday. The sheriff's office planned to send deputies and search and rescue. Deputies were told to shoot the wolves if they were still surrounding the woman, Sheriff Frank Rogers said in a press release. Now, I've spoken to Steve McLaughlin. I've also spoken with Stevens County Commissioner candidate Renee Holliday, who has been in contact with them over there and spoke directly with the sheriff, Frank Rogers, offering support for whatever can be done with the land rights groups and so on that can rally around and offer support for the sheriff. So if you guys want to, I don't have the number right in front of me. I wish I had it, but Sheriff Frank Rogers, easy enough for you to find that, the sheriff of Okanagan County. I want to encourage you guys to support the sheriff and tell him how much you appreciate him making the right decision, because he's taking heat for having his deputies threaten to use lethal force against these wolves who don't have any history of confrontations with humans. Well, now we have a treed Forest Service worker. The sheriff's office, this is a quote from Sheriff Frank Rogers. The sheriff's office is responsible for the safety of those living and those who recreate in this county and will do a thorough investigation to get answers of what may have happened, he said. We are concerned that some may not be prepared or even know of the possible encounters with wolves. Encounters. Plural. You think this is the first time this has ever happened with wolves? But he said he believes, and he's concerned that many may not be prepared or even know the possible encounters with wolves, which may result in the danger of human life. And in this case, I would say her life was in danger. So before the deputies arrived, DNR, Department of Natural Resources, dispatched a fire helicopter crew at 1:22 p.m. from OMAC. The wolves were, because it would just take minutes for the helicopter to get there as opposed to hours for deputies to get there. The wolves were still in the area when the helicopter arrived, but the pilot, Devin Gooch, landed in a meadow and the crew rescued the woman. The entire operation from leaving OMAC and returning took about 30 minutes. So the state Fish and Wildlife Sergeant Dan Christensen said the rumors the agency was more concerned about protecting the wolves than the woman were not true. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. A state game officer was heading toward the site when Forest Service employee was rescued. Although wolves are a federally protected species, the state officer would have acted to protect the woman, he said. He's saying that the safety of the woman is paramount. Well, the spokesman also, they ran basically the exact same article. And this is, they're the ones that put the correction in there that a woman treed by the wolves is a seasonal United States Forest Service employee. A U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service news release incorrectly stated she was a student. The story has been corrected. So there you have it. But there's some new information that's developed very recently, as in the last 24 hours. I got an update. And this is somebody who's directly involved with this, I would say, an independent investigation in communication with the sheriff and other agencies and individuals, and working with state legislators as well and county commissioners. Here's the update. On July 12th, a Forest Service worker conducting a watershed study was surrounded and forced to evade a wolf pack by climbing a tree. Here's the update. A Washington Department of Natural Resources helicopter was dispatched to the scene by the Northeast Washington Interagency Communication Center in Colville. That's a 911 center. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife told the helicopter crew to stand down. In the interest of public safety, the crew continued on their mission and effected the rescue of the Forest Service employee. You're not finding anywhere in the slipstream media that the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife told the helicopter crew to stand down. They ignored that, apparently. Upon arrival at the scene, the flight crew spotted several wolves, not one, not two, but several wolves surrounding the tree where the Forest Service employee was taking refuge. Okanagan County deputies were not present during the rescue. They were on their way. They were being dispatched. Lethal removal of the wolves was authorized by the Okanagan County Sheriff's Incident Commander. This call was supported by Sheriff Rogers. And by the way, no wolves were killed during this incident. Okanagan County Chief Criminal Deputy Steve Brown launched an investigation to determine if wolves in the area of Tiffany Springs could pose a threat to the public. Not just a Forest Service worker, but to anyone else. Well, on 13 July, this is where the confrontation takes place. On 13 July, Deputy Brown and a team of investigators drove to the scene. So just yesterday, they drove to the scene and began to proceed to the scene of the incident. En route to the incident, the investigation team encountered a U.S. Forest Fish and Wildlife Service biologist and a wolf specialist. A conversation ensued. Let's see, you tell me if you think this is just a conversation or a confrontation. When asked, this Fish and Wildlife Service individual, Kurtz, apparently is his name, K-U-R-Z, told Deputy Brown the girl would not provide her name for security reasons, but deputies are still trying to get her name for the investigation. So Kurtz also said the employee did not flee, but instead deployed repellent. Kurtz said the employee was ineffective, so she climbed a tree to evade the threat. Kurtz also informed Deputy Brown that the scene of the incident was actually a wolf rendezvous site. Okay, alarms should be going off here. So the site of the investigation is actually a wolf rendezvous site, which means this is sacred ground. Kurtz informed the deputy that if he proceeded to the site, he would be charged with interfering with a federally protected species. Of course, they're saying that the safety of the woman and studying these wolves and the potential danger to the public is paramount, right? But deputies who are going to investigate the area are being warned that they'll be charged with interfering with a federally protected species. In other words, human encroaching on the sacred golden cow of Washington, which is the wolf. So Deputy Brown told Kurtz, this U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service worker, that he faced arrest for impeding an active investigation. Now, Deputy Brown, God bless him, and the team proceeded about 1 mile to the incident scene. So while en route to the scene, deputies located game cameras and a well-cut trail to the site. Now, back during the confrontation with Kurtz, deputies were told that the route to the incident was quite a distance away and there was significant deadfall along the route, contrary to what the deputies actually found. Incidentally, also, one of these fish and wildlife workers called this girl an idiot, called her stupid. So this is the mentality of these people. There's more to the story, and more is being dug up right now. And there, the sheriff did release his statement. And so far as we can tell, his official statement was what I just read earlier. The sheriff's office is responsible for the safety of those living and those who recreate in this county, and will do a thorough investigation. So when they called for using lethal force against the wolves, entirely justified, in my opinion. So we're gonna follow this further, but right now there seems to be some headbutting between the state and the Fish and Wildlife Service and the sheriff's department. And absolutely, the sheriff's job is to protect and serve and provide protection from things that could endanger their citizens, like packs of wild wolves that shouldn't even be there in the first place and weren't there until 2015 anyway. I want to thank our sponsor for this segment, Works Holsters, W-E-R-K-Z, Works LLC. You can find out how to get your custom holsters made at works.com for your custom holster needs. For holsters made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. We'll be right back. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Mark Twain shared this insight. He said, "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave, hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot." He's right, but now more than ever we cannot afford brave patriots to be a scarcity. They must be found in abundance. There may soon come a time when being a patriot without cost will be all but impossible. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
We're back. Segment two here at Radio Free Redoubt, brought to you by Riverfront Suites. Go to riverfrontsuites.com. Beautiful little place right on the St. Joe River in beautiful St. Mary's, Idaho, about an hour south of Coeur d'Alene. Well worth the trip. And if you are in the American Redoubt, you need a weekend just to get away and you want a place to go lay your head, then check them out. riverfrontsuites.com. All right. Also, you know what? I got my Voice of the Martyrs in this month, and talking about the persecuted Christians around the world that are being persecuted for their faith and for spreading the gospel. They need your prayers and support. Remember to hold up the persecuted church around the world, the underground church, those who are breaking all the rules, breaking all the laws by not compromising for their faith. So remember to pray for them. Okay, now this segment, speaking of prayers, there's a lot of prayers going out here. In the last couple of minutes here, I want to talk about something that I found very encouraging, and that is the story about these ranchers who were wrongfully prosecuted. RedoubtNews.com, of course, several others, but you can go to RedoubtNews.com to read about Dwight and Stephen Hammond, father and son, who were pardoned by President Trump. This happened just this Tuesday, July 10th. President Donald Trump granted a full pardon to Dwight and Steve Hammond. And we've covered this story at length. And, of course, this is what led into the standoff and the occupation of the wildlife refuge in Oregon. They were convicted on June 22nd of 2012 for starting two small fires under the 1996 Anti-Terrorism Act, believe it or not. Carried a 5-year minimum sentence. What's criminal is that they started a fire that got out of control and burned some grass and shrubs. Well, the BLM starts a fire and it gets out of control and it burns down buildings, other structures besides homes and cattle and everything else, and nothing. No consequences whatsoever. It's appalling. So they were ordered to return back to prison because of a minimum sentencing under the Anti-Terrorism Act. And President Trump saw this for what it was, and he stepped in and he gave him a full pardon. Hallelujah. But, and even the Wall Street Journal ran an article, "A Worthy Pardon for the Hammonds. Trump Corrects a Federal Injustice Against Two Oregon Ranchers." Isn't that awesome? I love that headline from the Wall Street Journal, no less. So this was a great thing, but it was a great start. Next, Joe Robertson from Montana. Back in 2016, he was convicted for building ponds on his property when he had permits from the county. Unacceptable. I know he's out of prison now, but he's still a convicted felon. He deserves a full pardon and honors as a veteran. And also Todd Engel from Idaho, who went down there to he was involved in the Bundy Ranch incident. He's wrongfully prosecuted, in my mind. There's two more that need to be pardoned. Probably I can think of many more. Joe Robertson's next. I think we should start working on it. What do you guys say? Join us tomorrow night, 8 p.m. for our weekly podcast at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. God bless. You guys have a great weekend. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too.